Money Show.
Personal Finance with Warren Ingram.
Personal Finance brought to you by IG Markets. IG Markets South Africa is an authorized financial services provider. CFD losses can exceed your deposits. Warren Ingram, Personal Financial Advisor, Executive Director at Galileo Capital, with us on a Thursday evening. Before we go into whether or not it's possible to ignore the news when you make investment decisions, let's pay attention to the news. And that's an interest rate hike, which was not unexpected, but a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I think, me and forecasting, Bruce, I'm perfectly terrible at it. So I never try and predict what's going to happen. I always kind of chuckle usually at the economists who make a prediction about rates and are often wrong. But looking at it and looking at the decision, I think it makes sense to me. I think, there's a lot going on that's kind of arriving on our shores. You know, when you look at the price of fuel going up in dollar terms and the rand weakening, all of that leads to, higher everything, higher food prices, higher transport prices, and the like. So it makes sense that the Reserve Bank's going to try and do something to control inflation, because unfortunately it's like a huge boulder, rolling down a hill. If you stop it at the top of the hill, you're okay. But if it gains momentum, you're in deep trouble and you get squashed. So I guess not surprising, but for people that have got debt, which describes most salary earners in South Africa, they're going to hate it. And hopefully they've been listening to us on the show where we've been telling them to use the low interest rates to pay off some debt. If not, I think the rates are still low and it's still a good time to try and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so rates have been at record lows for the last 3 years. This is the first time in for the last year and a bit, rates have been at record lows. We haven't seen a rate increase in 3 years. And so we're slightly over record low interest rates. And so it's really not a big deal at this stage. The question is just how far rates have to go before inflation is tamed, and we'll only know that into the future. And of course, that's why Warren's advice is good, and you need to reduce and not reuse and don't recycle your debt. Warren, let's talk about the news, because as much as I want to believe you, I think it's a huge amount of wishful thinking that we could ever ignore the headlines when it comes to investing. I think we're headline obsessed. How do we manage the headlines perhaps better when it comes to investing for the long term?
Well, so I'll take your point. I think, if it wasn't part of my job, I'd do my very best to ignore the headlines, because I think they're designed, these headline writers. I'd like to meet them one day, these people, because they, they find the words that are most emotive and kind of, give us the biggest jolt of kind of adrenaline that we can find. And eventually we become addicted to reading these headlines, and especially the ones that are most terrifying. And unfortunately, headlines literally change minute to minute in the world of the internet. And they're not great ways to help you make long-term investment decisions. And so if you are going to track the news and listen to the headlines, I think you almost need to do it in the same way that you would observe sport. Watching the Springboks play on Saturday, it's great that they win, awful when they lose, should have no impact at all on the way you make your long-term investment decisions. And to me, that would be the psychology I would approach to the news headlines, is whatever's going on, whatever's happening with fuel pipelines going through Belarus and causing the Germans consternation because oil prices are rising and they don't have enough heat, and somehow that affects us and the tip of Africa. All of that is really exactly the same impact on your investments as whether the Springboks win or lose on a Saturday. You need to realize that your investment strategy and what you do with your money must be built around you, your objectives. How are you going to live your life? Where are you going to live your life? How old you are? How young you are? How much you've got to save, all of those things. Those are really important. But what happens to the fuel price and the inflation rate and, Biden doing a deal or not doing a deal or getting upset with China or not getting upset with China, all of that is really just activity. And in fact, it's just a lot of noise that doesn't help you at all.
That activity, though, does move markets. That activity, I mean, that does make markets move, and it becomes more of a trading tool than an investment tool. And I think that's an important distinction to make.
I think it's a great point. I like where you're going with that, because it does move the markets, but it moves the markets for a period of days, weeks, maybe months. I wouldn't even think months. But some kind of announcement by a politician from a big country, whether it's positive or negative, moves the markets in a direction for a couple of days. Let's say let's be generous. But your investment strategy, if you're looking at the long term, we're talking about 5, 10, 30, 40 years. What happens over a period of a couple of days or a couple of weeks should really be irrelevant. And if we just think about what's gone on and what's made us fearful through the last, let's say since the beginning of January, there's a lot to be worried about. We've had load shedding that's put us all into depression. The looting in July was really catastrophic for our confidence as a country. The small matter of a global pandemic that just doesn't seem to go away. With all of that, it's important to note that the JSE hits an all-time high. That's news. It's exciting for a day or two, but it doesn't change my investment strategy. And the world markets are up 50% for the year. So with all the bad stuff that's going on, all the reasons that we have and good reasons to be worried, doesn't mean that markets go down. And I think that's the point here. Even in South Africa, the average unit trust investing in shares has delivered 15% for the year so far. So is the stock market index. So is the average balanced fund. And if we were sitting at the beginning of January being fearful and reading these headlines from these dreaded headline makers, we would have kept our money under the mattress, earning pathetic interest rates and lost out on that kind of growth. And that's my point, is the only way you're going to be brave enough to make that investment decision to say, I need to put some money in the stock market, is when you look at your own situation and say to yourself, I've got 20, 30, 40 years to invest. Actually, what goes on in the next few months is not going to make a huge impact, but I can lose out if I'm not sitting in the stock market. I can't get 3 or 4% interest and be happy with that, because that's a certainty that I don't grow my money. That's my message.
I'm going to reinforce your point. If you had ignored the global financial crisis and pretended it wasn't happening, and you were invested in index funds, for example, yes, you would have lost a lot of your money over an 18-month period. But then it all came back as the world recalibrated and worked itself out. If you'd ignored, as sensible people did, in March last year, the collapse, 35% collapse in stock markets, overnight, boom, like that, money evaporated. The money came back and you're now sitting in record territory. You're now sitting 10% higher than you were before that particular shock came through, even higher than that potentially. And so by ignoring the noise and simply adding to investments on a regular basis, you tend to outperform those who knee-jerk to every catastrophic event, because there are always going to be catastrophic events.
Exactly. And even the pandemic, it's not something any of us have lived through, something similar in our lifetimes. We have to go back to the early 1900s to have something similar. But the truth is that what the pandemic caused in stock markets was completely normal. It caused typical human reaction to, a shock. And then people panicked and sold. And the rational investors, who kind of had a plan and just said, well, this is shocking and I'm worried about my health, but I'm not going to sell my investments. They lived through this and are in a better position than they were before the situation arose. And so that's the thing, is the reason why markets move and the reason why we get shocked or fearful might be new and might be different. But the reality is markets move in large groups of numbers of people. That's what causes markets to go. And fortunately or unfortunately, we're entirely predictable when we move in large numbers. We overreact to good news. We overreact to bad news. And the only advantage that you and I have as private investors trying to make a living and build our financial freedom goals is to know that if we can insulate ourselves from that by building a plan around our own situation, then we've got the advantage over those traders that drive the big fancy cars in the big flashy buildings, or nowadays, I guess, from their Zoom calls at home. That's the advantage we have, is we can do things differently and be logical and be rational by either embracing those headlines and then ignoring them, or just not reading them at all.
Warren Ingram from Galileo Capital on investing in a noisy world. In a moment, we've got a question from Joyce. And Joyce's question is, how Do I be financially smart? With all of the temptation and all of the offers of Christmas and Black Friday and promises of deals, how do I avoid losing, well, spending too much money? I think that's the point. We'll talk about Joyce's question with Warren in a moment.
The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
There is always a lot of temptation about, but particularly at this time of the year, you're driven by all sorts of things, a sense of obligation, perhaps a sense of guilt, perhaps a sense of desire to live a life that you see in the movies, whatever it might be. And coupled with that, come through emails and you go through your Instagram feed and adverts pop up and they tell you that you need things. And that's how Joyce is feeling. She says there are lots of reasons to shop. I usually find that I overspend during this time. Any tips on how I can be financially smart this festive season?
So I must just tell you that that Joyce and I share a kind of a habit or a bad problem here, because I'm one of those people. When it comes to, you know, gadgets, I love gadgets, and you know, I'm forever shopping for TVs virtually, not actually buying them, and then I have to go and explain it to my wife, otherwise known as the spreadsheet queen. And then she'll say, you know, absolutely fine. Just explain to me what's wrong with our current TV. And if I don't have a good explanation, that really answers the question. We're sticking with the one we've got. And the truth is, it's absolutely fine. So Joyce, I'm going to share my own kind of tips, you know, for managing myself, I guess, is one, if there are things that I really want, I'll have a list and I'll say, okay, there are three things that I would really like to buy, you know, whenever there's a good deal. And then the starting point is, what's a good deal? So I need to start tracking the price of those things before I go and read the advertising special where, you know, the online retailer tells me that it's 30% off now, because truthfully, a lot of the time, that's rubbish. You know, they inflate the price just before, you know, the specials get offered. So, you know, it goes from 100 Rand to 130 Rand, and then they tell you that they're now going to give it to you for 100 Rand because there's 30 Rand off, and that's garbage. So the truth is, find three things that you want to buy. Give yourself a price target where you say, I know what the prices are normally through the year. And if there's a proper discount, and that you're going to have to agree with yourself before the time. In other words, you know, if there's 25% off or half the price of what it normally costs, then I'm going to buy, and this is my budget. So decide how much you can spend on this stuff, and it can't be everything, of course. And then make sure that you actually find a good deal and know what a good deal is. And then I think, critically, in a time like this, we're always told that this is, you know, the last special. This is the one time only. You know, it's Black Friday. It only happens one day in, you know, of 1 month of the year, and that's rubbish. I mean, you know, Black Friday is suddenly almost the whole of November. Then we're going to have Christmas, and I find actually there's always a reason why retailers will come up with a deal. You know, and so just be patient. And often, you know, you'll get even better deals outside of these, you know, kind of so-called special times. So to me, it's about identifying how much money you're willing to spend on this, whatever the items are, and then making sure that you have a limited number of items. And then lastly, actually, you have to know the prices. Don't trust the retailer that says, you know, I'm selling this to you for 50% off, because, you know, that could be 50% off a fictional or fictitious price, you know, that just didn't exist actually, or existed for a day.
Yeah, what I find incredibly frustrating is, you know, we've never had more transparency and more ability to access information. And then you'll go and you'll look at TVs, and there'll be the XYZ TV SD37BLS, and then there'll be the BLT, and then the BLO. And each one of them has got a slightly different feature, which salesmen in different shops will tell you each one of those TSs and Os, why they're just so much more superior to the rival product. And you do get hell of a confused. You've really got to know your stuff and do some pretty in-depth research and then not be suckered by the sales patter, because a good salesman is as good as a pickpocket.
Absolutely. And you know, the other good tip I should be giving there is, you know, find a kind of a spending buddy. And I don't mean someone that encourages you to spend more, but someone that you can go and actually sit down and have to explain yourself as to what it is that you want to buy, why you want it, why it's you know, different, better than whatever it is that you had before. Especially TVs is a great one. And if you can, you know, give your spending buddy a logical argument that they actually buy, and to reinforce the point, there can't be an enabler here. It needs to be someone that, you know, that you respect and that is sensible normally and is not going to be getting any benefit out of you buying the new TV or the new gadget or whatever it is. And if they can agree with you, you know, then maybe you've got a good argument. But you know, the reality is, you know, nowadays with TVs, to use your example, you know, we're being told to buy the 8K TVs, and I don't really know exactly what that is. But what I do know is that most of the stuff we watch, you know, whether it be on satellite or, you know, whatever it is, streaming services, we can't even watch it in that 8K. So we're buying a TV that can, display stuff that isn't even available. So to me, you know, to buy technology that's 1 year old, probably way cheaper and way better than what we've got today, you know, in terms of what we've got in our own houses, and probably will, you know, see us right for the next decade. So I think you're right. Don't get bought or sold on the spiel, because the spiel is there to sell you more stuff next year again and the year after that.
In a minute, what is fiscal stimulus?
Warren?
Fiscal stimulus is...
There we go. I was wondering whether you'd forgotten and you'd gone, oh, I don't know.
I was going to give you 30 seconds of silence and say I'll only use 30 seconds, but I decided not to freak you out.
Okay, now you've just got 30 seconds. Do it.
Fiscal stimulus is when the government decides to grow the economy or reignite the economy through spending on things like infrastructure, you know, building new bridges, those kinds of things, or giving you tax cuts or taking away red tape. Sound familiar, Mr. Ramaphosa? That's the way that a government gets an economy going, in fiscal stimulus.
Okay, fiscal stimulus. Thank you, Warren Ingram. Warren Ingram is a director at Galileo Capital. He is a personal financial advisor, and he is a regular and generous contributor on The Money Show on a Thursday night.